Wise and man, amen. I always remember that when Reed's up there. Proverbs 7. And Faith has our song tonight. If you have handout 12, dig it out. If you kept it from 3 weeks ago. And if not, we got a copy for you in just a minute or two after Faith sings the song. Handout 12, we're going to finish that tonight, Lord willing. Faith, you come sing.
Set my feet on God's road, and never will I drift or roam. Though I am often weary, I'll travel till I reach my home. 10,000 foes may surround me to turn me from the right, but God's great arms are around me, His arms my feet on God's road, and never will I drift or roam. I've set my feet on God's road, I'll travel till I reach my home. I've set my feet on God's road, and never will I turn around. I've left the dreary
tonight. If you don't have handout 12, we started this 3 weeks ago. We've done 13 since, but I want to go back since our young people are here tonight, the majority of them, and finish handout 12. When we did handout 13, they were at youth conference. So keep your hand up if you misplaced it, lost it, used it to make a paper airplane out of, I don't know. But raise your hand. Some of you fellas could work the back. It would be good. There's some in the back there. That would be helpful as well. And I appreciate it. Thank you. Now, I appreciate you being here Wednesday nights. This is a good crowd. We always have people out of town on Wednesday nights in the summer, vacations and trips and so forth. And I appreciate you being faithful. I will not be here the next two Wednesday nights. I will be at youth conference in Texas. I will be at youth camp in Iowa. I'm not going to sneak out of town on you without telling you. I would have thought that my run at youth conferences and youth camps would have been finished many years ago. I'm surprised that it's still going. I'm not saying that. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I was with a friend earlier this year, older than me, about 3 years older, 62. And he said, did Brother So-and-so call you to come do their youth conference in June? And I said, no. And he said, well, he called me the other day and asked me to come. And he said he was going to call you and ask you to come. I said, well, I can't come that week because this is a large church. I mean, a large youth conference. And I said, I'm already at Brother Gomez's youth conference, so I'm not available that week. And I said, why? And why is he calling 60-year-olds? And he said, I asked him the same question. Why are you calling 60-year-old men? And this was this pastor's, if I called his name, everybody here would know it. He said, because I can't trust these young guys. Can't trust them. And he's had them in sometimes, and they just don't preach it straight. You know, they try to, you try to do the lingo and the teenage slang. That's not going to help anybody. Young people need the preaching of God's Word. And it's got to come to an end sometime. I don't see myself at 75 picking you young people out of you. And but anyway, I But I'm going to do the one in Texas and the one in Iowa. So there'll be some fellows here, and I appreciate your faithfulness. I hope you come to church on Wednesday night because it's the right thing to do. You don't come for the pastor. That's a secondary reason, or a third reason, fourth reason. That's way down on the priority list. There are a lot better reasons to come than for the pastor. And you come for the Lord. And you come for each other. Because the assembling of ourselves together is an encouragement. It's supposed to be. An exhortation and an encouragement to each other in these days. And if you don't see that these days are getting heavy, folks, and I don't know what you're looking at. These days are getting heavy. Heavy, heavy, heavy. Not only for Bible truth, but just for liberty. And so, you just do right. I appreciate your faithfulness and appreciate you being here this evening. Let's pray. Father, bless the lesson tonight. From your word, speak to our hearts. I pray on these principles of wisdom in Jesus' name. And amen. Let me fill in for you what we already did 3 weeks ago. Living wisely, principle number 18. Living wisely is learning how to avoid moral meltdown. Chapter 7 is basically about Solomon looking out of his window and seeing a young man, a simple and a young man void of understanding who absolutely lost his morality. All right? And so we're talking about learning wisely is learning how to avoid moral meltdown. Now, there were two distinguishing characteristics about the young man in verse number 7. And he looked out the window of his house in verse 6. I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones. So this man was simple. Letter A, 2A, he was simple. The word simple means not wise, means silly, means easily influenced. So he's immature, okay? And a lot of room for influence. And Solomon looked out the window and he beheld amongst this group of simple ones, unwise, easily influenced young people. He saw a young man void of understanding. So that's letter B, 2B, he was void of understanding. Isn't it interesting, I pointed out 3 weeks ago, that Solomon discerned this by what he saw. And I pointed out 3 weeks ago that evangelicals get mad at Baptists for being judgmental. You can't make a judgment based on what you see. Well, Solomon did. He looked out the window and he saw and he discerned. That's judging. And he discerned, he judged that this man was simple and void of understanding. And he did that by sight. Which, number 3, young people, our behavior speaks of either the presence or absence of wisdom. I don't have time to reteach all of this. But how you behave is going to speak either of the presence of wisdom in your life or the absence of wisdom in your life. And I've said, as I said, you know, you better be mindful of that because you're not going to be 13 all your life. You're going to be 17 or 18 someday. You're going to want a job and you're going to want a reference and you're going to want to use some man in the church as a reference. But, you know, he's been observing you and your behavior either speaks of the presence or absence of wisdom. And by the way, that's not just young people. That's all of us. All right. So our behavior speaks of either the presence or absence of wisdom. Now, he watched as this man did some very foolish things, and I've said 3 weeks ago, many of you young people have made promises to God about being pure through your teenage years and coming to the marriage altar, pure and clean, and that's always the right way to do it. And looking forward to a wedding a week from this Saturday where two young people have done it right again, have done right, and it creates for a wonderful atmosphere and a sweet spirit at the wedding. I'm glad you have made God a promise. Do you have a plan on how to make that happen? And that's what we're talking about here. We can learn how to make that happen from the mistakes that this man made. Now, number 4 has A through H. We got through letter number C. Let me just give it to you quickly. Avoid places of temptation. You'll see that in verse number 8. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. So that was a foolish place to go. Avoid places of temptation. Letter B, avoid times of temptation. Verse number 9, he went to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. times of temptation. There's a reason why more crimes are committed at night than during the day. It's very foolish to run around at night unstructured, unplanned, just hanging out. You get into a lot of trouble that way. Okay? So avoid times of temptation. Letter C, avoid those who dress immodestly. Look at verse number 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. And I said a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago, isn't it interesting that the word attire and heart are in the same verse? Because evangelicals will also tell people, say, you guys can't, you can't tell somebody's heart by how they dress. Well, it's interesting to me that attire and heart are in the same verse, people. Our dress is a reflection of what's in our heart. That's the bottom line. And you have to make sure that your young ladies are dressing modestly. You young men need to continue to dress modestly. Avoid those who dress immodestly. I gave a lot of illustrations about that and a lot of things. And I encourage you parents, you play the role of a parent. Do what you're supposed to do. Children have parents for a reason. Children have parents for a reason. And it's incredible how many young people are calling the shots. I preached a message one time here in this pulpit called Leading from the Bottom Up, and how teenagers are running the parents. You can't let that happen. You gotta lead the teenagers. Okay? You know, I don't know if people think sometimes, well, you know, those angel kids, they must not have given their mom and dad a whole lot of trouble. I know their last name is Angel, but they had horns holding up their halos. And they bumped the envelope. I had a boy that wanted to wear his hair in a weird way, and I said, no, you're not going to do that. Go comb it right. I had a girl who wanted to wear toe rings and all that stuff, and I said, no, you're not doing that. Take it off. I had a girl that stuck a tattoo. She was out of high school, stuck a tattoo on her leg or somewhere, an adhesive tattoo. I said, take that off. You're not wearing that. And you tell her what to do. They're in my house. They're sitting at my table, eating my food. I never checked to see if I had their permission to tell them what to do. Yeah, they bump the boundaries often. But somebody's got to stand up and say no. Say no. That's what you practice. Go to the mirror and practice. No, 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 no. Just do whatever you got to do. Get it done. But don't let your kids run you. I don't know where this little fancy sounding philosophy, pick your battles. I don't know where that's coming from. But I read Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And I don't read in there that you pick your battles. There are some things that your kids want to do that you don't fight them over. I don't see that biblically. Well, sounds cute, doesn't it? Sounds very cute. Maybe coming from a man who never had a kid. Or a wife. I don't know. But parents need to parent their kids. Parent your kids. Okay? And you young people that want to get to the marriage altar right and clean, pure, avoid those who dress immodestly. Brother, it's an issue. If you want to dress immodestly, there's a bigger problem with your heart. So be careful about that. All right. That's as far as we got 3 weeks ago, because everybody so much enjoyed point number C. And so let's move ahead to point number two, okay? Point number D. Oh, I'll get it in a second. Letter number D. It's been a long day, okay? Letter D. Avoid those who cannot keep their hands to themselves. Avoid those who cannot keep their hands to themselves. Look at verse number 13. So she caught him and kissed him. She caught him and kissed him. There is a valid reason why God says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And when you get around a boy or a girl, you want to get to the marriage altar right someday, you get around a boy or a girl who is loose with their hands, you need to avoid them. Touchy-feely is not for people who are not married. All right? Now, you know, and by the way, this is for everybody. Now, you know, down south, they have hugging churches. Boy, I mean, the men hug the women and the women hug the men. Some of those people take advantage of that. Now, on a special occasion, I maybe can understand that. We saw Bill and Joyce Smith in Georgia last Friday night. They're in that church. They're in Jay Reed's church, Brother Reed's church. And Joyce Smith came up and we had a brief, good to see you, Joyce. She does that every time she sees, and since she hugs my wife forever. And it was just special, you know, but folks, that stuff of hugging the same women and men every church service.
Come on. Amen.
That sounds too fun. For the flesh. I was on this platform one time and handshaking time. And folks, I'm not a police. I'm not the police. I don't operate that way. But in the middle of handshaking time, I observe, and I don't even know why, I was not looking to look. I was just looking. Just. And I saw a man shake hands with a woman, and shake hand, and shook hand, and held. And I'm sitting there. And I'm like, how long are you going to hold that girl's hand? Oh. Man. That's a handshake. And I called him on it. That's not right. Short handshake is proper. I'm not trying to be weird. But you don't tell me some man is going to take the hand of some woman, some woman is going to take the hand of some man, and that flesh touch for an extended period of time and have Sunday school thoughts. That don't happen. They don't make flesh like that. They don't make flesh like that, folks. So you got to be careful. And you young people especially, you get around folks. And by the way, folks, don't go weird on me. Hello, how are you? I can't shake your hand now. So, don't go weird on us. Okay? Don't do that. Be normal. A handshake is great. When you shake a lady's hand, you look her in the eyes. You shake a man's hand, you look him in the eyes, shake the hand, say, good to see you, move on. That's how you shake hands. But you don't linger and linger and linger unless you're married to him or her. That's right. So you got to avoid those who cannot keep their hands to themselves. This woman came and she caught this boy and she kissed him. And don't tell me that didn't send fireworks off in it. They don't make a boy that the fireworks don't go off in his body when that happens. So you got to be careful about that. Avoid those who dress immodestly. Then letter E, there we are. Avoid those who talk suggestively. Now, this is straight out of the Bible. Look at verse 16 and 17. So she catches him and she kisses him. And look at what she says in verse 16. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. There is absolutely no valid reason for that woman to be talking to, she's a married woman, there is no valid reason for her to be talking to this man about her bed. No valid reason. That is completely out of order. Completely improper. And so you have to avoid those who talk suggestively, and you can carry this principle into other areas that should be off limits between genders. You just don't go to certain subjects with people who are not married. You don't do that. You stay away from certain subjects. I told you earlier that, you know, There's a young man. He's interested in the youngest child, and the youngest child is interested in him, and so they're talking, and so what before school was out, what are the parameters, what are the boundaries, when can we talk, how long can we talk, oh boy, how often can we talk, and all that stuff that goes with it. Some of you are going to be there before you know it. And I said, well, till this time, but you don't ever talk to him when you're in bed. So she has to stay up and sit outside in the hallway or something because, you know, what are you doing? I'm lying in bed. Well, that's not good. That cracks open a door that shouldn't be cracked. You say, man, you're overboard. Well, if overboard gets them to the marriage altar clean, I don't mind being overboard. If they save all that for married life and build their relationship on friendship instead of passion, they'll have a lot happier marriage relationship. So if I'm overboard, excuse me. I'm glad you're not my dad. I'm probably glad you're not my daughter. And I'm not trying to be braggadocious, folks, but I am weary of weak men. I'm weary of them. And so, anyway. And that's part of this. Part of this, you know, you get these guys going to these youth conferences and they're feminine. And if you want to join the gym, join the gym. I'm not kidding. I watched it with my own eyes. You know, I may not have a good message, but I'm going to be a man in the pulpit. Come on. I'm not going to be feminine. But anyway, avoid those who talk suggestively. Something comes up that's off color, moral-wise, a red flag ought to go off, and you ought to say, you know what, this person should never have broached this subject with me. Even close. Amen? There's plenty to talk about that's clean. That's right. All right. Letter F. Avoid those who associate sin with love. Avoid those who associate sin with love. Look at verse number 18. Come. Look at what she says now. Look at her wording. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. So this married woman is going to bring this young man to her bed. And what's going to happen is defined as love. What she wanted was in no way, shape, or form associated with love. That's sin. That's the fulfillment of passion. No way, shape, or form associated with love. No way. Society today has come up with all kinds of terms to remove the reproach, you know this, from the sin of certain behavior. Drunkenness is alcoholism, and sodomites are gay, and abortion is pro-choice, and adultery is an affair, and drug usage is alternative medicine, and lying is being misunderstood or being taken out of context. I told you Sunday morning. That if you were, and by the way, I hadn't been listening to Rush Limbaugh when I said that. Common sense, you saw it coming. And I said, if you're holding your breath, hoping Hillary's going to be indicted, you might as well start breathing. That was a remarkable speech. I didn't hear it all. But the man basically said, you know, I'm not going to indict her, but if anybody else does this, I want you to know that you can be indicted. That's what he said at the end. Read his speech. Call me. I did listen to this today. They took her answers to questions about this email thing and his speech yesterday and juxtaposed them against each other And folks, she is a bald-faced liar. Because what she said and what he stated were 180 degrees opposite. And the press doesn't call her on it. Anyway, sin and love are not compatible. Sin and love are not compatible. What she wanted in the name of, to define what she wanted in the name of love was an absolute, that's ridiculous. That is sin, it is not love. And anytime you start talking about, well, you know, we love each other, and because we love each other, let's, you know, when you start justifying what you want to do, that's sin. That's called sin in God's Word, and you start defining it as love, you're mixing it up. You better be careful about people who associate sin with love. Letter G, avoid those who go behind the back of authority. Avoid those who go behind the back of authority. Look at verse number 19. Look at what she says to him. For the goodman is not at home. My husband is gone. He has gone a long journey. He had taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. So she goes behind the back of authority, her husband. Now, when anyone tries to talk you into something your parents have told you to stay out of, you've got to avoid that person. You know, your dad has spent 16, 17 years telling you, stay out, stay out, stay out, stay out, stay out, stay out, stay out. And here comes somebody in 2 weeks tries to talk you into. You can't go behind the back of your parents. And you've got to be careful about somebody encouraging you to go behind the back of your parents. The person who loves you is going to want your relationship with your parents to be tight. They're going to want you to do what mom and dad say. They're not going to try to talk you out of doing anything that mom and dad have told you not to do. That's the one who truly loves you. Okay? Love rejoiceth in truth, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, not iniquity. So be careful about those who go behind the back of authority. That's male and female, but I want to add a word here, fellas, to you especially. If you are interested in a young woman who tries to talk you into going behind the back of your parents, your radar ought to be going, bum, 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 bum. Because if she goes behind the back of her dad, and you marry her, she's going to go behind your back.
Right.
Treat you the same way. So you've got to avoid those who go behind the back of authority. You want to be interested in someone who promotes relationship with authority. Letter H, avoid those who use flattery. Avoid those who use flattery. Verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. That flattery. You're the only one who understands me. No one makes me feel like you do. Over-the-top comments are usually insincere. They're just designed to hook you. So you've got to avoid those who use flattery. Now, I want to show you something. If you wait till the end of verse number 21, if you violate all that happened between verse number 8 and verse number 21, and you wait to the end of verse number 21 to decide what you're going to do, it's too late. What I'm saying is, from verse 8 to 21, if you have violated all of these things, avoid places of temptation, avoid times of temptation, avoid those who dress immodestly. Avoid those who cannot keep their hands to themselves. Avoid those who talk suggestively. Avoid those who associate sin with love. Avoid those who go behind the back of authority. Avoid those who use flattery. She did all of those things. He did all of those things. And the end of verse number 21, if you wait until then till decide, look at verse 22. What happens to this young man who didn't avoid all those things? He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks till a dart strike through his liver. Doesn't even take a heart shot. A dart through a liver kills you. An arrow in the liver of a deer kills them. I've done it. That's not where you try to hit them, but if you hit them in the liver, they die. The hormones are flowing. You will not be able to make a spiritual decision if you wait to the end of verse 21 to decide what you're going to do. You've got to decide way before the end of verse number 21. In fact, you've got to decide all the way up at verse number 8 that you're going to avoid places of temptation and times of temptation and those who dressed immodestly and those who talk suggestively and those who can't keep their hands to themselves and so forth and so on. Young person, I'm glad you have made some promises, but you need to have a plan on how you're going to keep your promise. Does that make sense? Wisdom, principle 18, living wisely, is learning how to avoid moral meltdown. You take those 8 things from Proverbs 7 and you live by them. And I tell you what you'll do. You'll avoid moral meltdown. You will. And you'll be better off for it. And happier in the long run. But that's what that chapter is all about. This young man, simple and void of understanding, who had moral meltdown. Let's stand together. Thank you for your attention tonight. And forgive the little bit of rambling and so forth there as we finish this page. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for the youth of our church. I thank you for them. My heart thrills to see our young people serving you. My heart thrills to see them have a desire to honor you. And yet, Lord, I know the power of the flesh. I know the intention of the evil one. And I pray, God, that you will put a hedge of protection about all of them. May they all use the principles of wisdom taught in this chapter to avoid moral meltdown. I pray, along with the promise that they've made to you, that they will have a plan that will help them keep that promise. I pray for dads and moms. I pray that dads and moms will kindly and lovingly take control and lead their children. And I pray, God, that you will bring the young men and young women of this church to their marriage altar, right and clean and pure. Please do it. Help them to see the importance of it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, just a brief moment.